What's in a name? That question drove Michigan State University economist Lisa D. Cook to dig into 3 million death certificates in 4 states from 1802 up to 1970. And all that digging led to some intriguing findings, especially about the names of African American men. Lisa D. Cook, welcome.
Thank you very much, Cynthia.
Lisa, what questions were you seeking to answer by reviewing these death certificates? I mean, we're spanning a century and a half here.
One of the most fascinating things that I found was that in recent literature, we see all of these negative associations with black names. First, we see naming patterns that typically start in the 1960s and 1970s, and that's written about a lot. But we don't see anything before that. And we found that there has to be something. I mean, why hasn't this question been answered systematically? Well, posed and then answered systematically. So we wanted to go back in time. I've been working on this for about 10 years, trying to figure out these black names for a completely different project on inventors, actually. But what we found was that there was an historical naming pattern, something that existed before the 1960s and 1970s, and we wanted to know more. So the first big piece of news is that there was this pattern, that it had been ignored, understudied, the questions hadn't been asked before. So we're looking at this period that is the 19th century and early 20th century through the early 20th century or mid 20th century. And then we wanted to know if there were any correlations that were similar to the ones that we see today, because there's been a lot of research today about the negative correlations associated with black names.
And I want people to kind of just be on the same page with the kind of late 20th century distinctively black names we're talking about. Darnell, Jamal, Jermaine, Leroy, Rashid, Tremaine, Tyrone. So those are the names that we started to see coming into the 70s.
Right, in the 1960s and 1970s.
And the negative connotations with those are?
There are several studies that have looked at these. One, probably the most famous one, there were an audit study sort of having the same CV, the same resume, but just changing the names, changing them from black male names and black female names to white male names and white female names. And you get a 50% less callback rate if you have a black name.
Wow.
So this encapsulates most of the studies that are similar in that regard. And it's not just for jobs. It's for things that academics care about. Ginther and others and a recent Science article in 2011, Science article found that people with ethnic names, with racial names, do not get grants from the National Institutes of Health. Now, this is taxpayers' money now. Do not get grants at the same rate as their counterparts who have very similar grant applications. So it's at every level. So we have to be very careful.
So we're going back now, way back, 1802, starting and looking at these historical black names, such as?
Yes, such as Abraham or Abe, Abram, Alonzo, Ambrose.
Booker, yes.
Booker, definitely Booker. Elijah, Isaiah.
Very Old Testament.
Yes, Israel, many of them Old Testament names.
Not all of them, though. I see names Master.
Master, King, Prince.
Freeman.
Freeman,
yeah.
Right. Those, we think, conferring some sort of power or positive names, not necessarily, you know, post-slavery names. The Old Testament ones would have been just as relevant pre-slavery, for example.
And what did you find in terms of life expectancy with these historic names?
Oh, we found some very stark positive results. One thing that we found was that on average, having a black name, historically, among those who are African-American, who are African-American men, we're looking at men in this sample, they had at least an extra year of life. Now, at least one extra year of life, which is significant. But if we just look at several states, it ranged from 11 more years of life to 7 more years of life. I mean, it really made a big difference. We're still trying to figure out why that is. We're struck. We kept throwing things at the data to be able to get rid of the results. That's what we always try to do.
And it wouldn't go away.
It wouldn't go away. This is striking. This is over time, over this long time period. This is for states that are not only in the South. So this is Alabama and Missouri, Illinois, North Carolina.
Okay.
So this is all over the country.
And as you say, now you've got to figure out why. But I happen to know you come from five generations of Baptist ministers in your family. What do you think you've seen through your personal experience that might have happened with men with these powerful Old Testament names?
The reason this history of mine is interesting and important is because what I know about some of my relatives and some of my neighbors is African Americans were often schooled in these one-room schoolhouses that doubled as churches. The teachers were often Sunday school teachers. They knew a lot about the Bible. So if you had a name like Elijah or Moses, you better be setting up a little bit straighter than some other kids who had different names. So what we find is that early mortality is not affected by these names. Children die at the same rates with these names. But if we're talking at the end of their lives, if we're talking about accumulated benefit, that's where we see the real results. So over this lifetime, if you're African American and, you know, there is a call for political leadership or social or economic leadership and your name is Moses or Booker. I mean, for Booker T. Washington, this became an almost all-black name between the 1880s and 1910s. I think that they conferred some extra sense of pride and possibly responsibility. But that's what we have to look at further.
And I know there's much more to be answered, but I'm wondering, to take away your findings here, are you suggesting perhaps parents might want to think twice before choosing a name like Jamal or Kareem for a son? I mean, you wouldn't want to go with Master King or Freeman, but do you think...
But you might want to go with Prince.
There you go. Yeah, Prince would be,
you
make
might
you very
go
cool.
With Prince.
So I guess would you say to parents, you know what, maybe you want to think of an Elijah or an Isaac over a Tremaine or a Tyrone. Are you saying that or not?
Cynthia, you're trying to get me into trouble. This gets me into so many disputes with my family.
All right.
You know, okay, so this is the thing. You and I live in a multicultural international world. I lived in Russia. I lived in Nigeria. I lived all over the world. I come into contact with these names both there and here and everywhere else. So what I would suggest is what a lot of people do and some people have been doing historically. You know, have a name that everybody can use, everybody outside the home can use, and then have a name that is more traditional for your own culture at home. A number of my Jewish friends, for example, have, you know, an Anglo-Saxon name, mm-hmm. and this is well documented. This isn't new.
Right.
And then have a, you know,
a
Hebrew name.
Yeah.
So having a name like Maya for a girl, for example, or Chloe or something like that, you know, fine for everybody else. The other thing, as a teacher, this is where I really get energized about this. As a teacher, I don't want to spend half my day trying to figure out what your name is. I don't want to spend a lot of time doing it. And that is implicit bias. I know that. Mm. And some of the literature that we cite in our paper has to do with this implicit bias. So I am glad that I speak five languages because I can understand more names. So maybe I'm less subject to it than others, but I am subject to it and I know it. So I would try to make, even if it were in another language, the easiest name possible so that others can digest it. Latch on to it. And maybe it has some other meaning. Now, if you had a name like Scheherazade, somebody was thinking. Somebody was really thinking about that name. It's polysyllabic? Okay, that's fine. But I would say, you know, have this traditional name at home, and that conveys sort of one sense of culture, mm-hmm. and you might spread it among others. But otherwise, I would say the simpler, the better, and the more juniors and thirds and fourths, even if they don't exist, I think they should be added.
Now, where do you want to go with your research? I'm wondering, can you feel like you could extrapolate these results and apply them to women's names, or do you want to dig into women's names?
Well, we actually did women's names. Mm-hmm. It's just that women's death certificates are a bit more difficult because of their last names. So it's just taking a bit longer to do the research. Because these results just jumped off the page, we wanted to go ahead and write this up. I've always been paying attention to women. I've always been paying attention to women's names. It's just taken a little bit longer to do that research. But we also want to add, we have even more data that have been digitized. We want to see, are black names more associated with lynching later on? Are they more associated with higher property values or business ownership? I mean, there's so many other things we can do with this. So we're just looking forward to doing this research.
Fascinating stuff. Michigan State University Associate Professor of Economics, Lisa D. Cook. Fun talking with you, and keep us posted on your research.
Certainly will, Cindy. Thank you so much.